Address today is called Hazards Unfolded by the Emerging Church Leaders. The movement itself does not give a strict definition of what it is all about, so you have to search around to see just what they are doing. Their basic presupposition and conviction is that Christianity needs to be reinvented to make it relevant to our postmodern generation. They call the present day postmodern, and we have to make Christianity relevant, they say. The emerging church leaders in general do not hold to the Bible and to reason as having the answers to all life's problems. They insist that experience is to be a key factor in our spiritual growth and in the reality of what spiritual life is. And when they come to give you techniques of how to live your Christian life, they continually endorse Roman Catholic and even Greek mystical practices. And they recommend again and again such things as icons, statues, pictures, prayer stations, candles, incense, and sacramental rites. And these are some of the hazards that the emerging church presents before people. Brian McLaren, as we said, is the main leader of the movement, and he is an example of how it has been accepted worldwide and the effect it is having worldwide. I recently got a letter from Malawi in Africa from a pastor asking me how could the local churches in Malawi in Africa answer the effect that Brian McLaren, the emerging church movement, is having on that nation. It is amazing to see the effect in different places of the world. Sometimes even in French, like in the Cameroon part of Africa, and in France itself, the emerging church having huge effects. Phyllis Tickle, as we mentioned, is also a formidable leader. And then we find some of the leaders are Roman Catholics, like the very famous Richard Rohr. He is a leading figure in the whole emerging church movement while he is a Catholic priest. His website is called the Center for Action and Contemplation, and it states that the founder is Richard Rohr. He is the author of a very popular book in contemplative circles called Everything Belongs: The Gift of Contemplative Prayer. In January 2008, he was the presenter at a conference called Jesus and Buddha: Paths of Awakening. Consistent with contemplative spirituality, Rohr taught the equality between Buddha and Christ and the indwelling of God in all things. He taught, and you still find it on the internet, the teachings of Jesus and Buddha call people to transformational honesty. And he declared, and still declares, quotation, "They," that is Jesus and Buddha, "are both teaching how to see and how to see all the way through. They both," Jesus and Buddha, "knew that if we see God for ourselves, we will see the divine in all things." That is a sample of Richard Rohr, the Catholic priest, fully giving the emerging picture, and of course it's the Catholic picture too, because he is a Roman Catholic priest. One of the main leaders is called Leonard or Len Sweet. He's a close friend of Brian McLaren. He has a webpage which is accessed by many, and he states on his webpage, quotation, "No church leader understands better to navigate the seas of 21st century." He states about himself that he is currently E. Stanley Jones Professor of Evangelism at Drew University, Madison, New Jersey, and Visiting Distinguished Professor at George Fox University in Portland, Oregon. His webpage boasts about a book that he has written called Quantum Spirituality, and he boasts that it is already a spirituality classic. Sweet challenges the church's reluctance to accept his insights. He states, "So far the church has refused to dip its toe into postmodern culture. A quantum spirituality challenges the church to bear its past and to dare its future by sticking its big toe into time and space of the present." And then he goes on to say how this can be done. So Leonard Sweet is one of the main hazards of modern day Christianity, or what's called Christianity, and he has written other books as well. In 2001 he published a book called Carpe Manana, and Brian McLaren said about that book, "I'm a better pastor and a better Christian because of Len's brilliant and stimulating work. Carpe Manana is a valuable continuation of the conversation he has been having with the church in America for many years." I spoke about Emergent UK, where you'll find many of the leaders of the Emergent Church movement across the UK, but one of these, one of the many, is Jason Clark. He is one of the UK leaders of the Emerging Church movement. He states about himself, "I have a Doctor of Ministry degree in the area of church and culture, and I'm now a PhD candidate at King's College London. I lecture and teach in the UK internationally on a regular basis. I coordinate a resource network, Emergent UK. I am a council member of Evangelical Alliance UK." So the person who coordinates that website that I said that you should research, Emergent UK, is this man, Jason Clark. He writes about what he loves most dearly about the Emergent Church movement. He says the following, "Theology. The freedom and company to think theologically, to find integration of my faith into a postmodern world. The church planting is no longer predicted on getting people to pray a prayer to go to heaven when they die. The gospel is much bigger than that myopic premise. Finding the face of God, thinking theologically, honestly and openly, does not make you a heretic or a backslider." End of quotation. And then he says about experience, "Freedom to do church differently, to experiment, to do lots. It is the same. Both extremes are true and needed." And then he writes about connection to people all around the world from many countries and many church tribes, to be able to join together with people across the world, which he does principally through his writings and his internet website. and he writes about being generous. Realize that there is no postmodern way of doing churches. There are many ways. We need many more. Some like they currently are, and some radically different. Many valid and connecting in different areas. Jason Clark is himself a pastor of the Vineyard Church in Sutton, UK for 12 years. In 2000, January this year, 2009, he was carded as a lecturer presenting Exploring the Emerging Church, Theology, Culture, Ritual and Meaning at Calvin College, Grand Rapids, USA. For anybody who knows anything about Grand Rapids and the Doctors of Grace stand that used to take place there, and Calvin College in the past, it is quite horrendous to see Calvin College have Jason Clark coming to speak about mysticism. But this is one of the things that seems to be unnoticed by present day Doctrines of Grace men. Doctrines of Grace, what had been Calvin College in Grand Rapids, now welcoming Jason Clark. Robert Bell is one of the leading lights, very popular with the youth. He is the author of Velvet Elvis and of the mini film series called Numas. He says we're discovering that rediscovering that Christianity is an Eastern religion and a way of life. Popular also is Dan Kimball. His book called The Emerging Church explains how postmodernists think and feel from previous generations. Kimball holds that the basic learning has shifted from the rational and logic to the realm of experience. People, he insists, are increasingly desiring the mystical rather than the evidential based on facts. And so he presents mysticism, and he is one of the ones that are really hazardous because he presents what he says is Christianity in his books and across the internet, and it is really sugar-coated toxic heresy. This quite popular Dan Kimball. There are other influential leaders, just to mention a few. Dallas Willard, one of the more famous, Calvin Miller, and the former Roman Catholic priest, Brennan Manning. I lived 11 years in Portland, Oregon, the United States, and I was requested to be an elective professor at the college where I did an elective course. I wasn't paid, but I had a class each week for students. I had a class that usually was very full at Multnomah Bible College. Multnomah Bible College was known to be a solid Bible college right over the years. While I was teaching there, I requested the college that had a printing press to publish my testimony and some of the things I was writing. They said they would not because they were already publishing Brennan Manning's books, The Mystical Catholic Priest. That college was becoming more and more mystical, even as I taught there. It was quite frightening to be a professor, you know, an elective professor, while the college was becoming more and more Roman Catholic, working together with Billy Graham and the others who were endorsing Catholicism. It was what is happening with what had been solid Bible churches. I could see with my own eyes on campus and talking to the students. What had been solid through mystical ways and working together with Roman Catholics was becoming more and more of a danger zone for students rather than a helpful place to study. It is It's sad to see that Multnomah Bible College is just a sample of what's happening across the world. We have another leader called Erwin McManus, and he states that his goal is to destroy Christianity as a world religion and to be a re-catalyst for the movement of Jesus Christ. So we talk about the movement for Jesus Christ, and his purpose is to destroy Christianity as a world religion. He's written a quite famous book called The Barbarian Way. You will find this on the CD, the exact reference to the book. And he talks about what the barbarian way is to do. Quotation: look underneath what looks like invention, innovation, creativity is really a core mysticism that hears from God. And what is fueling this is something really ancient. He talks about it as being ancient and old and Christian. Of course, it's what the Christians rejected in times past. I have done a DVD and written on a web page about the early church, the Vaudois, the Waldenses, and before the Reformation, the believers, they rejected the mystical ways. They were emphatic. It's quite interesting to document how the early church rejected Catholic mystical ways, but they talked about the ancient as if they were accepted. They were not accepted by the believers either before or after the Reformation. But these people think they have discovered something ancient. Now, what is happening, and this is where I challenge you as students to really research, is that people who are respected evangelical leaders and apologists are endorsing the emerging church movement and mysticism. Quite famous, he probably is here in the UK as he is on the States. He's on radio, Christian radio programs every single day in the United States and most cities of the United States. It's Ravi Zacharias. He's supposed to be one of the best apologetics for Christianity. He has officially endorsed Henri Nouwen, who is a French-Canadian Catholic priest. And he says that he is, quotation, one of the greatest saints of recent memory. And so Ravi Zacharias endorses Henri Nouwen. I know I studied Henri Nouwen as a Catholic priest. His books are in English besides in French. And in his sabbatical journey, Henri Nouwen wrote the following: today, I personally believe that Jesus came to open the door to God's house. All human beings can walk through that door, whether they know about Jesus or not. Today, I see it as my call to help every person claim his or her way to God. He believed in universalism, whether you knew Jesus or not, that Jesus was the door which you came in to have union with God. He is one of the more sinister and well-written. If you like poetry and how you express English and how you express your thoughts, Henri Nouwen is one of the more splendid writers that ever took his pen and wrote. And he is one of the more successful still, even though he is dying, and endorsed by Ravi Zacharias. And as more and more Christian apologists endorse Catholic mysticism, we have few James Whites of Alpha and Omega ministry, an exception. We have many of false ones who endorse Catholic mysticism. And so this is just the warning that we see. The main leader, as I explained, is Macharan. And Macharan explains just what the emerging church means. His bestseller here in the UK and across the world is called Generous Orthodoxy. Zondervan are so bold that when they send you the book, they will give you a refund if you don't like it. They will store all your money and you don't have to give back the book. So they think that it's going to change your life. Generous Orthodoxy, it's the main manual for the emerging church movement. It is a book that you should have to help you to research this movement. He tells you in the movement just what the emerging church is and its model. He says the meaning of emergent is used and the setting is essentially a part of the ecosystem of Generous Orthodoxy. A simple diagram can illustrate what we mean by emergent thinking. And he compares it to a tree. Quotation: each ring of a tree represents not a replacement of the previous rings, not a rejection of them, but an embracing of them and a compromising of them, an inclusion of them in something bigger. So he talks about Christianity like the rings on a tree, that the new ring embraces the old ones and builds on them, and you get something new again. It's quite like Hegelian thought. If you've studied Hegel, it is that synthesis, antithesis, thesis. It's what Marxism was built on. It's a humanistic way of thinking. It is not the biblical way. But this is McLaren's mode of thought. And you can really see it's Hegelian. It is has been quite successful. He states, this God-giving thirst for emergence is causing new forms of Christian spirituality, community, and mission to emerge from post-Western Christianity. A generous orthodoxy is an emerging orthodoxy, never complete until we arrive finally home in God. He says it's ever increasing and we never get there until we reach home with God. He says there are emerging ways continually developing. He does not give clear descriptions in what we would say are biblical ways. And he actually states in that book that clarity is sometimes overrated. So he's not attempting to be clear because he thinks that clarity can confuse things at times. So he wants to be more to get into his emergent way of thinking and thinking of this way that one ring builds on the other and this is ever increasing. He says to get there to generous orthodoxy and to be postmodern Christian, some things have to be done. And he makes it clear that the first stage is to be able to reunite Protestants and Catholics together. And that Protestants, conservative Protestants, have to renounce what he calls the solas. The five biblical principles must be renounced. And so he emphatically says in this book that the solas of the Protestant Reformation must be renounced. Quotation, he says, Calvinists in particular and fundamentalists in general are to give up their solas or alones. Because the word sola is not found in the Bible. So you're to give up the five biblical principles of the Reformation. And so he is telling people that they're to give up the authority of the Bible alone as the way of knowing truth. As Christ said, thy word is truth. Scripture cannot be broken. The absolute has got to go. Been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and glory and praise to God alone. These solas must be renounced. These were the very solas, principles for which men and women gave their lives in the past. Here in the UK, for example, William Tyndale, John Rogers, Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, Anne Askew, John Bradford, and John Philpott, just to mention some of the UK heroes of the faith who stood on the solas and gave their life. Not only did they believe it, but they gave their life for these principles. The most used and famous DVD that I have made is called The Inquisition, where I document both graphically and with visual use of video, and I give actual photographs of the torture devices used over 605 years. In those 605 years of papal torture and inquisition across Europe, of which many people are ignorant. They know about the 6 years of the Holocaust. They know nothing of the 605 years of papal torture and inquisition. There's no comparison between the two, but 605 years is distinct from 6 years. But the believers, when you study how the believers stood up and really proclaimed the gospel in those years, it is unbelievably inspiring. It should be for our day. But these things are to be renounced, as McLaren says so. And he states about the first principle, Scripture alone being the authority. He states, Scripture is something that God had let be. So it is at once God's creation and the creation of dozens of peoples and communities and cultures who produced it. He sees Scripture as produced by God together with peoples, communities and cultures. And he speaks about this as the way which we got the Scriptures, as a creation of God. He talks about it as the dual origin of the Scriptures, from God and from the communities. It's quite similar to Roman Catholicism, which talks about holy tradition transmitting in its entirety the written word of God. Like the community giving you God's word, or coming from the community as well as God. It is a Roman Catholic concept. You won't be at the Spurgeon's Fraternal, but the talks that I'm giving there are on the CD that we hope we have a copy for everybody. We were making 20 more copies. By the end of the day, you'll see what I say to the fellowship about modern day Catholicism. Is quite similar to what the Catholic Church says in paragraph 80, 81 and 82 of the New Catechism. They talk about tradition transmitting the Word of God. And McLaren sees the community giving you the Scriptures. And he writes, the Christian community at its best throughout history has always had deep feeling and understanding for this integrated dual origin of Scriptures. The Christian community in its Catholic, Protestant and Orthodox forms has sought to hold to both dimensions of the origin of Scripture and to hold them together as friends, partners and colleagues. Well, that is an absolute lie. That the Christian throughout history, that the Christian community has always accepted dual origin of scripture. As I said earlier, and I would hope that you would get it, and I'm leaving a copy here at the tabernacle of the DVD that I've made on the early church. I think some of the research that I've been able to do on this, I have about 6 major works on the early church, the Vaudois that go back to apostolic times, followed by the Waldenses, and the other great movements before the Reformation, and John Huss and others way before the Reformation, and then the Reformation itself, right through history. The Bible believers always knew the written word of God as the absolute, and they rejected. So this is an absolute lie. But people accept this lie because they do not know the truth. Very few students for the ministry have studied the early church. When you say to them the Vaudois, the valley people of northern Italy and southern France, they don't know who you're talking about. The Vaudois. And the famous Vaudois, Peter Waldo, in the 12th century, just as a Vaudois coming in the same biblical force of gospel message. Quite remarkable. And students for ministry are often completely ignorant of what the history of the early church was. So I just would ask you to study, and on our webpage we have these things written and you can download them and see. But we need to study history, the history before the Reformation and after the Reformation, so that we're able to answer the lies of such as McLaren. And then McLaren talks about what is necessary to deny, and he talks about what we would say is the gospel. Quotation: "Perhaps our inward turn, individual salvation oriented, unadapted Christianity is a colossal and tragic misunderstanding. Perhaps we need to listen again for the true song of salvation, which is the good news of all creation. So perhaps it's best to suspend what, if anything, you know of what it means to call Jesus Savior, and to give the matter of salvation fresh attention. Let's start simply. The Bible saves means rescue or heal. It emphatically does not mean save from hell or give eternal life after death, as many preachers seem to imply, sermon after sermon. Rather, its meaning varies from passage to passage. In general, and in any context, save means to get out of trouble. The trouble could be sickness, war, political intrigue, oppression, poverty, imprisonment, or any kind of danger." And so he redefines salvation, that it is not personal salvation from hell or to know everlasting life. It is rescue or to heal. And he emphatically denies personal salvation. Christ Jesus said, "He that believeth on me has everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Christ Jesus emphatically said it is everlasting life to believe. But McLaren says it is not. And Jesus Christ said, "I will forewarn ye whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed had power to cast into hell. Again I say, fear him." Christ Jesus warned about hell. And to be saved from hell, McLaren says that is not salvation. So this is the hazardous prospect that is in front of us, where this emerging church leader that is the most successful, he has some more lethal, toxic books since the Generous Orthodoxy. It was a play on G.K. Chesterton's book Orthodoxy that he wrote, Generous Orthodoxy. And he is one that is principally leading this movement. And it is to see just how it denies the essential biblical message and brings people deeply into the dark haunt of inner experience through Catholic mysticism. He gives a universalist way in which man can embrace God that is utterly outside the written word of God, and that attempts to redefine God and redefine Jesus Christ and redefine everything that we know to be Christian, and to introduce people to Catholic mysticism in its many formats. So I would challenge you then to get some of McLaren's works and to begin writing so that you could be able to give an account of how we are to understand who God is, and that we can understand Satan's devices as they come to us through the emerging church leaders and their strategy to redefine who God is, and how papal Rome now has a so-called evangelical partner to bring in the working of Satan with signs and wonders. As we see the emerging church movement increase in leaps and bounds here in the UK, in ways that we did not expect a few years ago. When I was asked some years ago to speak, I would say, well, the UK is for the most part untouched, but that is not so. It is now deeply touched. And we need to know how to address it. I think that is not only for us to know how to address it, but personally, and I here speak from the heart, we need to know how to address it. How do I personally in my own life address it? My own personal way of addressing it is to cultivate a deep spiritual experience with God that is thoroughly biblical. This is a false so-called experiential knowledge of God. We have a deep spiritual experience of who God is in ways that are truly biblical, and which personally we can increase in our own personal life with God. You will never be a good theological student unless you personally, first of all, have a deep spiritual, biblical experience of who God is, something that you live. It's not what you study, it's how you live. The book that I have devoured in my years of being a Christian since I was 48, the book I have devoured, and I must have read 30 or 40 times, is John Owen's Volume 2, Communion with God, Fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My copy of the book is so underlined that it's not for anybody else. I've so read that book. He, as a great Puritan who contended for the faith in his own day, not only contended for the faith, but he deeply experienced who God really is biblically. And he taught people how biblically you can commune with the Father. He used the verse, the last verse of 2 Corinthians, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," to give his ways of understanding. The love of God, how we understand God to be our Father and enter in communion with our Abba Father and have fellowship with God in understanding his love. How we rest in God during the day and at night as we're going to sleep. It is just wonderful. The spiritual, biblical way of resting in the love of the Father, who Scripture says is our Papa, Abba, Father. The all-holy God being our loving Father personally. And then the riches of grace, the abundance of grace, how we fellowship with Christ, particularly on the aspect of grace. And how disastrous it is not to be in fellowship, to abide in Christ Jesus. What it means daily to abide in Christ. Owen explains chapter after chapter what it is to abide in Christ Jesus. And what it is to walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not to quench the Spirit in your daily life. This is what you need as training for the pastoral work and the ministries, is true communion with God. I had the privilege to give my address on fellowship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit that I called Everlasting Life in Toronto, Canada last year. And Lord willing, when I reach back in the United States in early March, it will be the next DVD on our webpage where I address communion with God. And I would ask that you would look at that DVD or to read the text on our webpage, which we will put up at the same time. Because my own inner heart is in that. That is how we come to understand who God is, by really living what is true Christianity. And our fellowship with God personally is what we're going to teach our people, so that we have real revival in our churches and real revival in our own heart. And that is the basic way to answer the hazards of the emerging church and its leaders. And may we do this, and may God be praised for the glory of his grace. Amen and amen. Praise God.